Wake up! Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. You are now listening to You and Me at 30. I'm your host, Dr. Joshua K. Wright. I realize that you could be anywhere in the world right now, but you're here listening to me, and I sincerely appreciate that. You and Me at 30 is a new talk show airing on Sunday mornings. I'll be bringing you lively, thought-provoking discussion on a variety of topics. Each show will feature an extended conversation with a guest. While many of these individuals will come from the University of Maryland Eastern Shore and the local community, I will also feature several guests from around the country. Please note that the views and opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of 91.3 WESM or the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. Most of us can't remember what we ate for dinner or what we wore to work 3 weeks ago. But we cannot forget our favorite teacher from elementary school or that high school teacher who was more like a parent than just an instructor for us. Teaching is one of the most honorable professions in our country. May 7th is National Teacher Appreciation Day. Even though that's a few weeks away, it's never too early to show our teachers some much needed love. Today's episode is dedicated to teaching. My guests include Dr. Nomsa Galetta, the chair of the Department of Education at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore, and Dr. Maggie Madden, the assessment coordinator for the teacher education program at UMES. Ladies, thank you all so much for joining me this morning.
Our pleasure.
Glad to have the opportunity to be here.
So tell me, why is teaching important? Why do teachers matter?
They do matter because they are second to their parents, to the students' parents, or the most important people in the students' lives. If they impact the students' lives, they have a capacity to impact the communities where those students are from. So our teachers are really, really important in really impacting communities and impacting almost the nation.
I think that teachers are so important because they are in the business of trying to impart information about a particular content area, but they're also extremely important in developing healthy relationships with their students so their students feel valued and they feel capable of succeeding as they grow into adulthood.
What inspired each of you to become teachers?
I came from a family of educators. In fact, my mother and my father met while they were training to be teachers and they got married. So in all my life, I was surrounded by teachers and teacher talk. When I graduated from high school and I thought about what I would become, my mother had an idea for me, become a teacher. So I did, and I have enjoyed it ever since.
My story is a bit different. I happened into teaching. I came from a family where we did not have any funds for me to be able to attend college, and I really wanted to go to college. And I discovered that there was scholarship money that was available for me if I wanted to pursue teacher training and promised to teach in the state of Maryland for 2 years. I didn't realize what that was going to mean until my junior year when I went out into the schools, and it was one of those lucky things that's happened to me in my life because I found out I love teaching, and I particularly love middle school students, and I've been in education ever since.
I know for a lot of new teachers, they have that nightmare of a first week experience sometimes. Not everyone, but a lot of times it's a hard adjustment. So when you all first started out teaching, tell me some of the lows and also the highs that you all remember.
That is a difficult one. When I started teaching, I was assigned to a middle school in a very poverty-stricken school in South Africa. I started my teaching in South Africa. And I was going to be that face, that hope, that light that was going to energize the students. So my low was to see the students that needed the most help get lost and never realize their potential. And my highest was when I saw those same students from the same cohort succeed and thrive. I got an opportunity to teach them from middle school all the way to high school. They allowed me to move with my cohort to high school.
For me, I was really fortunate that I was able to get a job teaching in the same school where I did my student teaching. So I was very familiar with the community. I was familiar with the students. I was familiar with the families. And that was really helpful to me. And I know a lot of our schools down here where we place students, we are hopeful that they will end up being able to be hired within the community. For me, one of the highs was knowing that I was dealing with some students who had special needs, and they sometimes were dismissed by the other students. And so we started a chess club. Now, I'm not going to say we actually played chess, but we had a chess club, and that group met, and I could really see that there was a lot of increase in the way, positive way in which they viewed themselves and what they could do in relation to the other students.
Dr. Galletta, you say your earliest experience actually came teaching abroad. So how would you say it was different working with the students there in South Africa in comparison to students here in the United States?
Interesting enough, it's not different. All students have needs. And all students need a caring teacher who understands where they are coming from and work with them from where they are coming from. The biggest difference was where resources in South Africa. Students did not have a lot of resources. Comparatively, American students had more resources, but the basic needs were the same and are the same.
Now, both of you started out as classroom teachers, but now you've transitioned more into the administrative side of things. Was that your initial intention when you started out? Like, how did you get to this point?
It was never in my mind. It never crossed my mind that I would be an administrator. However, because I started my education in South Africa during apartheid years, there was a time when I was teaching my class and I was having a conversation with my students about how their lives were. And I realized that I was perpetuating apartheid unknowingly. One of those areas was the curriculum that I was teaching. I was a history teacher. And the curriculum was not factual and accurate, and it demeaned the students that I was teaching. So I thought I wanted to be a curriculum expert. I wanted to be the one who's developing the curriculum at the school level all the way to probably the national curriculum. So I did my graduate work focusing on curriculum development, which took me to the journey and the path that I have now.
For me, it was a natural progression of opportunities that were offered to me. When I left the classroom, I went into doing professional development and then ultimately into teacher preparation. Nothing makes me happier than being in a classroom, watching our interns teach, speaking with our mentors, knowing what our mentors are doing to help our UMES interns become successful in the classroom. So for me, that is the thing that has been so important, is understanding the relationship between the university and the school system and how we're all on an equal playing field in terms of preparing teachers.
How much has the profession changed, in your opinions, over the years, and what are the biggest challenges facing today's teachers?
It has changed quite a bit. It's funny because things remain the same and they also have changed. A teacher is still expected to be an expert in the content and an expert in the art of teaching and have behaviors that are appropriate for being a teacher. However, the responsibilities of teaching have changed in dramatic ways. As technology has come on board, teachers have to think about how do we integrate technology in a meaningful way in the classroom. They have to think about how is information gathered, used in an appropriate manner, and the teacher is no longer the authority in dispersing that knowledge. Students can get the knowledge everywhere they can get their technologies on. So the teacher has to mediate that, and that is not something that happened before. It happened in the last 20 years, maybe. So teachers are catching up with that. And the safety in schools have become another challenge for teachers. Teachers are not only teaching the content, they are also making sure that students are safe. In some communities right now, teachers are expected to carry guns and know how to use guns appropriately. All those things have changed the work of the teacher and what teachers are expected to do.
I think the basic thing that remains the same with teaching is that to being able to develop a positive professional relationship with the student, as Dr. Wright said earlier, is one of the most important pieces that you have as a part of that way in which our children become productive adults. Because there are so many more identified areas of need for students, I think it's important for our teachers to have an understanding of cultural competence, of the increasing poverty that we have in our country, and know how to deal equitably with all the students that they encounter across the way. And I think the other thing that's important too for teachers now as they are being trained to really look deep inside and get a greater understanding of themselves, of who they are, or of how they feel about other people, so that they are providing opportunities for all of the students in their classrooms who may not look like them, come from their same background.
You have many parents and adult mentors who encourage kids to grow up and become lawyers, doctors, entrepreneurs, or to seek jobs in the STEM profession because that's where the money is. With the rising cost of student loans, new homes, and health care, is it still reasonable for college students to major in education? What are your opinions?
Teaching still remains one of the professions that should be at the forefront of every student that is thinking about a profession to get into. We cannot have all those other professions without good educators. What has happened is that the perception of being a teacher has kind of diminished. But I want to tell you that that is the best profession ever. Without teachers, we could not have doctors. We could not have those wonderful science NASA scientists. If we could encourage students of any discipline to consider teaching, then all of the professions would thrive.
I think a lot of it has to do with the importance of personal satisfaction in what you do as an individual with your life and the way you can contribute to your community and to making the world a better place. It's really important that money is not the only thing for which our students, our college and university students, should strive. And having interviewed many students who have been in careers where they make the decision where they say, you know what? I remember when I used to work with students in camp during the summer. I really enjoyed that. I can remember a student who changed my view. So I think it's really important. And there is scholarship money that's available to students. We have some scholarship money here at UMES that enables students to be able to come through our education program that perhaps would not be able to do so without that scholarship assistance.
Ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to UMES 30. So far, I've been talking with our guests, Dr. Nomsa Galetta and Dr. Maggie Madden, who oversee the teacher education program at the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. Joining us now are two special guests who graduated from UMES with degrees in education. They are Karen Holland, a special education teacher at Cedar Chapel Special School in Maryland, and also Dr. Richard Warren, an 8th grade STEM teacher at Crisfield Academy in Maryland. Karen and Richard, thank you all so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you for having me.
So Karen, what do you remember about your first week of student teaching while you were here at UMES?
I think it was actually a mixture of emotions. So it was awesome. It was a feeling of excitement because I was that much closer to reaching my goal of becoming a teacher myself. And then it was also a feeling of, you know, nervousness, that realization of knowing that I would have such a major impact on children. And I just wanted to make sure that I did my best and, you know, in all that I was doing.
Starting out, were there any special teachers at your school or administrators that, you know, really helped you get through the process as a brand new teacher?
There were so many teachers there that helped me through the process. The cohort that we had at that time was it was about 12 of us. So it was amazing. I remember a math it was a math course that we were taking, and that was with Miss Holly Hatton. And she was amazing with, you know, teaching us strategies and things like that that we could actually use in the classroom when we were doing our student teaching.
And you were named the 2018 Teacher of the Year in Worcester County. In what ways have you grown as a teacher over the years, and what's been the secret to your success?
I would have to say that I've learned so many things throughout my teaching career. But I think what I've realized that's most important for me, especially in my classroom, is the relationships. It's the relationships that I build with my students, along with the relationships that I build with my families. When I have my families connected to what we're doing in the classroom, it makes the process for the children that much, you know, that much easier or smoother, I guess I could say. I've also learned that when you create that environment where the children, you know, they've built, there's trust that's built in there, and the students know that they're loved, I mean, amazing growth happens, socially and academically. My secret, I would have to say, to success is my faith. My faith has taught me to believe, it's taught me to believe in myself, and that anything is possible, and it's also allowed me to reach out to my students and their families. So I'm available to help them with whatever they need, whenever they need it.
Is there a story that really sticks out to you over the years of teaching? Is there, like, you know, one special student that you really remember?
Yes, there actually is. I actually have this student right now, and even today, just looking at the growth that he's made and the progress that he's made is it's amazing. I have a student who is who's nonverbal. So he uses a device to communicate. And my first year with him, which was last year, he was very aggressive. But we know, you know, in education that all behaviors, you know what I mean, they're trying to tell you something. Students are trying to tell you something. But with that relationship piece that I was telling you about, I really focused hard on building that relationship prior to doing, you know, the academic portion because he wasn't available for that just yet. And as we continue to grow together, he's made so many gains. He uses his device independently, pretty much, and he can say whatever it is he needs, he wants, and what he enjoys, which is amazing. And the behaviors have diminished, like they are no more.
Richard, I'm going to ask you the same question. Is there a special story that you have with one of your students that really sticks out to you?
Yeah, there's so many stories that I could give you, but one in particular, student name, I don't want to give you this particular name, but this female student, and from the moment that I met her, I knew it was something different about her. I met her, she was outgoing, and she gave her best to almost every opportunity. But then she had a traumatic turn in her life, and she came into my classroom and she slept for a few days, and, you know, I approached her, and I asked her what was going on. She told me that she wanted to drop out of school so she could help her mother survive and to take care of her family. And I told her the best way that she can help her family and her mother is to utilize education to get a good job, take care of her family. I found out that her mother was working multiple jobs just to make ends meet. And after that conversation, Shamir made a total 360. She started dedicating herself to her work. And now, Shamir is a recipient of multiple scholarships. She's an honor student. She applied and got accepted to the University of Maryland College Park. And more importantly, Shamir's mother came in and thanked me for being there for her daughter. And she was watching the entire time of how her daughter progressed through it all. And now, Shamir's mother, while I'm out advocating for the profession, Shamir's mother wants to be a teacher. And she's in my classroom right now being my co-teacher. But that kind of story speaks to the volume of how making connections and building relationships not only impacts student achievement, but it changes generational trends.
And Richard, I know you teach STEM, and we hear so much about STEM in the media today. And one of the things we often hear is how minorities, especially African-American students, tend to be underrepresented in terms of STEM. So what's your secret to getting minority students, males and females, excited about this subject matter?
So I think it goes a little deep. You know, one of the things when I'm always asked that question, you know, what does it take to get students interested in certain fields or becoming a teacher? I tell people all the time that we have to create a space for African-American males or, you know, males of color, that create a space for them to heal. Historically, discipline rates have been over-marginalized. They've been suspended more than any other counter race. And, you know, discipline behavior issues has just skyrocketed. And then we turn around and ask them to be interested in teaching it in certain our core content areas. And really, they're just trying to get away from they're just trying to get out. Most of the time, they don't want to come back because of their experiences while they're in school. So I think the secret for me is creating a space for them to heal, building relationships with them, showing them that there is a great side of education, and having fun, and using culturally responsive pedagogy. I create raps to reach that culture. I use sports. I use things that are relevant to them, and I help make those connections with what they're interested in their community. And that's how I do it. That's how I get them interested. I create a space for them to heal. I'm a role model, and, you know, I just kind of use that cultural responsibility to show them how it all relates and how all the dots connect.
And, Richard, you've had a very hectic school year, to say the least. In October, you were named the 2018-19 Teacher of the Year for the entire state of Maryland. You were a candidate for National Teacher of the Year. In December, you delivered the winter commencement speech at UMES. And I was there in attendance, and I remember you shared this very emotional story with the graduates. And if you wouldn't mind, could you just briefly give some of the highlights from that speech?
Yeah, I shared with them how I understood where they were and how I remember sitting where they were sitting and how I remember being scared of the unknown, you know, what was going to be next, what college they would attend, graduate school, or what career they would pick up, and, you know, what life would look like after college. And I share with them some of my personal stories about, you know, my family crisis, my instability, and, you know, how I failed a lot coming up. And I wanted to inspire them to keep moving, regardless if things don't work out the way that they expected, and not to let their current situation determine their future situation. And one of the things that I shared with them that stuck with me is when a teacher pulled me up when I was in school. She said, "Young man, I refuse to let you live below your potential. Don't let your situation determine how you live. Live to determine your situation." And that quote has stuck with me throughout my journey. And I just wanted to express that to all the graduates, that no matter what your current situation looks like, you can, with hard work, with perseverance, you can create the life that you want. And I just wanted to give them hope and, you know, share my story of, you know, being able to overcome certain obstacles, because whether your obstacles look like mine or not, we all have challenges and obstacles. And that's what separates the good people from the phenomenal people, as to how you handle the challenges and how you can move forward.
And I know both of you guys have very busy schedules, so, you know, unfortunately, we're going to have to let you all go. But before you leave, Karen and Richard, if both of you could just kind of tell listeners why students should consider coming to UMES and applying to become future teachers.
I would have to say going to UMES has been nothing but an amazing experience. It was the start of my journey to where I am today, to be able to say that I'm, you know, the 2018 Worcester County Teacher of the Year. The experiences that you will receive there at UMES is second to none. And the strategies and just the community that you have there is amazing. So I'm very thankful to be, you know, a product of UMES.
Yeah, I would definitely say the same. UMES is like the second home to me. When I came to mm-hmm. the campus, I immediately felt loved. I felt like the faculty actually cared about me. I was not just a number. Anytime I needed advice, even down to applying for scholarships, figuring out how I could even stay at the university, the faculty and the staff went out of their way to make sure that I at least had a hint. And you don't get that everywhere.
Okay, well, again, thank you, Richard and Karen, for joining us this morning.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay, and finally, Dr. Galletta, Dr. Madden, same question for you all. Why should parents listening right now send their children to UMES? Or why should, you know, students, if they're happening to be listening, decide to come here and major in education and become future teachers?
I would tell parents that UMES is special in that it's small enough. and we have high quality faculty with experience as classroom teachers, as administrators in schools, who will guide them and cajole them and provide them with the skills they will need to be teachers. We have programs in secondary education. We have programs in special education. We have the educational leadership program and the doctoral program. We have special ed, master's degree, and we have a collaborative program and the Master of Arts in Teaching for those students who graduated with a bachelor's degree in a content area and are now trying to figure out what to do, but they love to be around students. Please consider UMES. We have a scholarship, like Dr. Madden mentioned earlier, that supports students who want to be educators. We welcome applications, and we will support you and make sure that you see your finish line.
I would say in addition to that, we are very fortunate to have partnerships with the counties in which we are situated and which are right next to us. And we have the most amazing mentors and administrators who want our students to come into their buildings to work with their students. They begin clinical experiences in the very first course. Every course that a student takes as part of the initial certification program has some kind of a placement in a school, and we have an extraordinarily high hiring rate, not only here in our surrounding counties, but also in other states and other areas across the bridge, because we do attract students from there. So we have a very caring faculty, and we are one-on-one, high touch, and really committed to the students that we have in our program.
Okay, well, again, thank you, ladies, so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We end each show with a segment called Parting Shots. Here I give my thoughts on something happening in the news, pop culture, or life in general that's piqued my interest. I want to highlight the most important teacher in my life, my late grandmother, Mrs. Iris McLaughlin. Grandma received a degree in elementary education from Morris College, a small HBCU in Sumter, South Carolina, back in 1937. She began teaching immediately after graduation. In addition to classroom teaching, Grandma served as a basketball coach, school music director, and cafeteria manager. After completing her Master of Arts degree at North Carolina Central College, she was a summer instructor at Allen University in South Carolina and an evening instructor at her alma mater, Morris College, for 2 years. In 1964, Grandma was called out of the elementary school to initiate a preschool program within the Sumter Public School System. 4 years later, she was appointed supervisor of preschools. Grandma completed 39 years of professional service when she retired in 1977. And also, both of her children, as well as her grandson, myself, received PhDs. And that's our show for the week. Thanks again to all of our guests today, Karen Holland, Dr. Richard Warren, Dr. Nomsa Galetta, and Dr. Maggie Madden. We do this every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. If you like the show, please tell your friends about it. Like us on Facebook and other forms of social media. A special shout out, as always, to Uncle Phil and Aunt Viv. Have a blessed day.